The title of my message this morning is The Conversion of a Religious Worshipper. The Conversion of a Religious Worshipper. Acts chapter 16, verse number 11. We have Paul on his missionary journey preaching the riches of the gospel, and he is hindered in the beginning part of the chapter. He's hindered, he's forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, and we see the reason why God hindered Paul from going to Asia as we read these verses. Verse number 11, "Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." May the Lord add his blessing on his word. You may be seated. Consider, if you will, this morning, this one thought. At this very moment, millions around the world are assembled in churches like this one with a desire to worship God. And among those millions are those who are Christians in name, but not in nature. That is, they think that they are Christians because they believe that God exists. They grew up in a faithful family that attended church, or because they live moral lives. These worshipers that I am describing are sincere. They honestly believe themselves to be true Christians. Yet the reality is they have never been radically transformed by the grace and power of God. There is very little evidence in their life that God has made them a new creation. In Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 15, we have the account of a religious worshiper who was gloriously converted from her lifeless external religion to the true faith of Christianity. As we come to this text, and as we read about Lydia's conversion experience, it is my prayer this morning that you would examine the state of your own soul. And that if you are without Christ, if you are without God and without hope in this world, if you are without the assurance that everything is well between you and the God who made you, I pray that today would be the day of your salvation. I pray that the Spirit of God would take His holy word and would generate faith within your heart as this is preached. It is my prayer and desire that through this message, God would open the heart of someone here this morning. Whether they consider themselves to be a moral, religious worshiper of God, or a wicked, rebellious unbeliever. I want us to consider three things from this text this morning. First, the religious worshiper. Second, her conversion. And then third, the evidence of her conversion. We see all three in this text this morning. Consider first here in Acts chapter 16, the religious worshiper. And we read here in verse 14 that a certain woman named Lydia, was a seller of purple. She was a successful businesswoman. She sold this purple dye that was needful in this day and in this culture. And it happened through the providence of God that the Apostle Paul sent him across the path of Lydia so that Lydia could hear the message of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it says here, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. If this was all that we had of the account of Lydia, we might presume that because she worshipped God, that she was unquestionably the child of God. We must understand from this text and the testimony of Lydia this morning that it is possible to worship God externally and not know Him internally. It is possible to know about God with the head and never experience Him in the heart. It is possible for an individual to pray to God, to understand the truths of God's Word, to go to church in fellowship with God's people, and yet remain an unbeliever. This was Lydia. Lydia is called a worshiper of God. She was religious, but not regenerated. She was a proselyte to the Jewish faith, but she was not a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a seeker of the truth, but a stranger to the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. And people like Lydia are found in every city and in every church. They are religious worshipers who enjoy learning about God and His Word. They enjoy the peaceful moral atmosphere that a church brings. They feel good about themselves after they leave a Sunday morning message because they feel like they fulfilled some spiritual duty before God, but in their hearts, they are empty. In their hearts, there is no true eternal joy given from God. And it may be this morning that this is you. You are like Lydia. You seek to worship God, but your worship of God is all external. You worship God by doing, by praying, by going to church, but inwardly you're separated from God. It may be that there is somebody here this morning that is moral, somebody who seeks to keep the Ten Commandments, somebody who boasts, well, I've never murdered anyone. I've never committed adultery. I've never bowed down to a man-made idol and worshipped it. I've always obeyed my parents, and you pat yourself on the back thinking that you are a moral, religious worshiper of God. You may know a lot about the Bible. You may have grown up in church. You may have gone or you may be going to a Christian school. You pray, you seek to worship God, yet the reality of your heart is you do not truly know God. If this is you this morning, I am describing, please take notice to the next five words in the text. It says that Lydia gathered together with the Jews, those who were God's people, and she worshiped God. But she heard the message of Paul, and as she heard the word of God preached and taught by Paul and his fellow companions, it says, whose heart the Lord opened. Whose heart the Lord opened. We see here two things within this phrase. We see the author of conversion and the operation of conversion. Who is the author of conversion? The author of salvation, the author of conversion is the Lord. As she went to worship God, as was her practice, she heard the word of God preached, and the Lord opened her heart. And we need to understand that the word heart refers not to the physical organ that pumps blood throughout the body, but heart here in the Bible means one's inmost self. It is the center and seat of man's spiritual life, thoughts, desires, affections, and endeavors. The author of conversion is God. The Lord opened Lydia's heart. The Lord opened Lydia's understanding. And the Lord opened Lydia's rebellious will. And we read here a very important truth, because it declares to us, as we have read on Wednesday in Jonah, salvation is of the Lord. Lydia did not open her own heart. The Lord opened it for her. And these wonderful words teach us what conversion is. Now understand this, because conversion, salvation, what it means to know God, what it means to become a Christian, has been watered down in our culture and in our day. Now, we think conversion is simply living a moral life. We think conversion is going to church. And we think conversion is praying a prayer after someone, but conversion is God opening the sinful heart of men. Conversion is God changing the heart. Salvation is not a change of habits wrought by the power of man, but a conversion of the heart wrought by the Spirit of God. True conversion is a work done within man by God, not a work done by man for God. Salvation is not man reforming, but God regenerating. Salvation, the Bible says, is of Him and through Him and to Him. Why? So that He might be glorified. And we recall the words of that wonderful song, "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved." And the author of that song, of that hymn, acknowledges it is because the grace of God that a person becomes the child of God. And we need to understand this truth this day. And if you are lost, if you are in sin this morning, if you do not know God, you need to understand, if you are to know Him, you must have a surgery. And this surgery is a spiritual one, where God takes away your God-hating heart, your heart of stone, and replaces it with a heart of flesh, a heart that loves Him and desires to please Him. This is what salvation is, where one becomes a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ, where one becomes a child of God, where one is translated from a goat to a sheep. A goat is one who kicks. A goat is one who is stubborn. But through the transformation of God's grace and salvation, and God transforms the goat to the sheep. And a sheep is one who desires to walk alongside the good shepherd. And so we see here this important truth in the testimony of Lydia that salvation is of God. God opened her heart. And if any man is to be saved, the Lord must open the heart. And we ask the question, why Lydia? Why should the Spirit hinder Paul and then direct Paul's steps to Lydia? Why should God orchestrate that Lydia be here near the water at this time when Paul is there? Why should God open the heart of Lydia and harden the heart of Pharaoh? Why is it? Because of grace. Because of God's love. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Salvation is not of man. It is not of him that willeth or of him that runneth, but it is of God who shows mercy. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Now I know in Christian circles there is this tension when it comes to the doctrine of soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. There is this tension between God's sovereignty and human responsibility. Is man responsible for his salvation or is God? And the answer is yes. The answer is the Lord opens the heart and man believes. We declare that salvation is all of God and all of God's grace. It is the Spirit that quickeneth and the flesh provides nothing. And the Bible tells us that one must be born again of God's Spirit. But it also tells us that man must repent and believe the gospel to be saved. And so if you are struggling with this battle in your mind, and some people like to title it, some people like to use labels and push men into two different camps, and you are of John Calvin or you are on Jacob Arminius, the Bible uses nothing of camps or labels and titles, but it does declare that salvation is of God and that in salvation the Lord must open the heart. We cannot open our own hearts. And we see the illustration of this in the Gospels as Jesus is going about performing His miracles. Jesus comes to a blind man and by His power and grace makes the blind to see. Go ahead and tell a blind man to look at the sunset. He can't. And Jesus took the dead and gave them life. Jesus took the lepers and cleansed them. Jesus allowed the lame to walk again. And all these are illustrations of salvation. That it is through God's power, it is through the power of Christ given to men, that men come to be saved. They come to be converted. And this is why we pray for others and for their salvation. Because we know that unless God gets a hold of their heart, they will remain lost. Now we can speak to their ear, but God must open the heart. And we look at our own salvation. We recall our own testimony. And we recall how many times we forsook God. How many times we walked our own path until grace taught our heart to fear. Until the love of Jesus Christ showered us and it made us desire Him and Him alone. So we see a wonderful truth here in the life of Lydia that the author of salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible declares that Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. And we see also the operation of conversion. It says, whose heart the Lord opened. This means that God caused Lydia to understand that her religious worship was not sufficient to make her right with God. God opened her understanding and caused her to see that she was a guilty, vile sinner before God who needed a Savior. And this is exactly what happens in the moment of one's conversion. One comes to understand that there is none righteous, no, not one. That there is none that doeth good and sinneth not. One comes to understand that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I can recall, even in my own salvation experience, that I had heard those truths time and time again. I knew that God was one. I believed that God was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I believed that Jesus had come to die for the sins of mankind, but I did not truly take Him as my own until the Lord opened my heart. The operation of conversion, the Lord opened Lydia's heart. It was not Paul's eloquence. It was not Paul's personality that led Lydia to a personal faith in Christ. It was the Spirit of God illuminating her heart and mind. And notice here, there was no formal church service. It was a preacher faithfully preaching the Word of God. Again, the means of salvation is the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. If you want to know Christ, you must seek Him and find Him, and you seek Him through the pages of His Word. We seek to know what He has done for us as we read the Scriptures and as we hear the Scriptures declared unto us. So can I exhort you this morning, if you do not know Christ, search the Scriptures. Find Christ. Keep coming to church so you can hear the Word of God explained and so that you can be gloriously converted. And church family, this is why we invite others to come to church, so that they can hear the Word of God. And as they hear the Word of God, the Spirit of God opens their heart, and they too can be gloriously saved. Let me ask you, has God opened your heart? Has the Spirit of God caused you to see your spiritual danger apart from Christ? Has God's Word convinced you that you deserve to be cast off from God forever because of your sin? Has God opened your heart to the truth that there is nothing that you can do to merit or obtain salvation in your own strength? Has God opened your heart to the truth that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners and that He has the power to save you today? Perhaps God is opening your heart now. Perhaps you have never heard these things before. Perhaps you would cry out even now as the message is preached, Lord, open my heart. Teach me these truths so I can know what it means to be saved from the wrath to come. And understand this also. Here in this text, the Lord opens Lydia's heart. And Christianity is the one and only true faith. And Christianity involves the heart. We are not about rituals and traditions. We do not light candles. We do not bow down to dead saints. We do not repeat prayers after a minister, because Christianity is that of the heart. It's communing with God, with the heart, with the soul. It is not external. Oh, if one's heart is changed by God, one will show their faith by worshiping and by serving. But understand this, what is different between all the other false faiths of this world and Christianity is that of the heart. The Buddhists, the Catholics, the cults of this world, they focus on the external. Jesus comes and He preaches a message that points to the heart. Out of the heart comes sin. You do wicked and sinful things because you have a wicked and sinful heart. So your heart must be changed. Your heart must be made new. You must be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, if you are to be made right with God. This is the difference between Christianity and all the false religions of the world. When one becomes a Christian, they are given a new heart from God. This is a new nature, a new life, a heart that loves Him, a heart that despises sin and despises the world. And I've used the illustration, and I will use it again, about the pig and the man. You take a bucket of slop and invite a pig to come in the auditorium, and this putrid smell coming from this slop will attract the pig, and this pig will come with its nose diving into the slop within seconds. Why? Because it is the nature of the pig to roll around in the mud and the dirt and to eat slop. But you take a man who loves fine dining, who loves a good T-bone steak, corn, potatoes. I've got you hungry for lunch. And you send him here with a plate next to the slop. He is going to choose the T-bone steak, unless he's a vegetarian. Why? Because it is his nature. And so a true Christian delights to know God. A true Christian delights to walk with God. A true Christian has had their nature changed. They've become free from the bondage of sin and Satan. And now they serve a new master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this has come about through the opening of the heart. We see here also the evidence of conversion. One may ask, well, what is the evidence of true salvation? How can I know that I am a true convert, that I am a Christian, and how can I know others, and if they are truly in Christ? Well, the Bible records the evidence of Lydia's conversion here in verse number 14 and 15. It says, the Lord opened her heart. This was her salvation. This was her conversion. And the Lord opened her heart that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul and was baptized. The Bible records for us the fruits of her faith. Number one, first fruit. She had a desire to obey the word of God. All true Christians, all true converts, all people who have had their hearts changed by God will have the desire to obey God's word. She continued to attend to those things which were taught, and she was baptized. She was brought to the water, she was immersed, and she made her faith known through the ordinance of baptism. And we call baptism the first step of obedience in the life of a Christian, because Christ commands it. And Christ told the disciples, you go to the ends of the world, you teach all things, and then you baptize. So a believer makes their faith known to others by being baptized. And we see here Lydia is obedient to this command. Lydia desires to obey the word of God, and all true Christians will have this desire. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. That means that God's commandments are not burdensome. If a professing child of God reads the Word of God and says, I know the Word of God commands me to do that, but I don't want to do it, there's a problem. No, the heart of a Christian, the nature of a Christian, comes to the Word of God. And even though there are things that are sometimes fearful and difficult to obey, they say, by Your grace and strength, Lord, I want to do what You want me to do. I don't desire my own will, but I desire to do Your will. This is the heart of a Christian. John chapter 14, 21, Jesus says, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he that has the word of God and obeys, he it is that loveth me. How do we know the evidence of salvation? Well, it is laid for us clearly in the Word of God. One will obey the Word of God. And this is the love. And this is love, 2 John 1, 6, that we walk after His commandments. The Word of God is clear also on the opposing side. 1 John 2, 4, he that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So there are some who say, I know God. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I am on my way to heaven, but they are not keeping the commandments of God. There's no desire to do it. Not that they're doing it perfectly. Not that they don't struggle with sin, but that there's not even a desire. The Bible says they're living a lie. Because when God converts the heart, He gives a heart of obedience. Notice, secondly, the next fruit. She had a love for God's people. When she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. The second evidence that her faith was real, that her faith was active, was that she had a love for God's people. A love to the saints, one commentator says, love to the saints has ever been a mark of the true convert. And those who do nothing for Christ or His church give but sorry evidence of an opened heart. And how true that is. 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. And John continues this over and over in the epistle of 1 John 4:20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? You think I'm a hard preacher? Listen to the words of the Apostle John. He says, salvation is not a difficult matter. If you want to know the evidences of salvation, they are declared here in 1 John. And one of them is a love for the brethren, a love for the children of God, a love for the church. If any man says, I love God, and has no desire to be around God's people, has no desire to be in God's church, there's something wrong. So simply put, Lydia was an obedient Christian, and she is obeying the greatest commandment, which is love God and love others. Lydia was not saved by works. She was saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Christ opened her heart, but her faith gave evidence that it was real by working. And the epistle of James points this out very clearly, that a true faith, a heart that has been changed of God, is one that works. It is one that labors for the Lord. It is one that does not stand still, but it is one that pursues to know Christ and to serve Him. And we see that here in this text. If God has opened your heart and converted you, you will hunger and thirst after His Word. You will live according to His Word, and you will seek to live for others. It is that simple. These are the foremost evidences of conversion: obedience and love. And if you do not have a desire to know and obey the Word of God, if you do not have a love for God's people, I can boldly proclaim this day, with the Word of God as my authority, you are not a Christian. I say this to help you. I say this to warn you. An apple tree produces apples. An orange tree produces oranges. And a true Christian produces the fruit of obedience and love. And it is not something the Christian works up within their own strength and power, But it is something that Christ does through that person. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. They will manifest the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of themselves. It is the fruit of the Spirit working within them, which is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I need to conclude this morning. Through the amazing providence of God, Lydia was able to hear the Word of God. God opened Lydia's heart. And through the amazing providence of God, God has you here this morning to hear the Word of God, which is able to save your soul. As Lydia heard the Word of God preached, her heart was opened and she was made a new creation in Christ. Perhaps God is opening your heart today, showing you your need for Him. Do not resist Him. Do not turn from Him. Do you know Christ? And does Christ know you? Does your life give evidence that you are a true Christian? Are you in Christ? Or are you a religious worshiper, going through the motions? You read your Bible, but you don't understand it. You pray to God, but there's no sweet communion, no answers to prayer. You go to church Sunday after Sunday, but you only go to fulfill a religious duty. Are you just an external worshiper? Do you need Christ to change your heart today? Oh, that you would cry out to Him. Oh, that you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved today. This is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Do not leave here forsaking the truth. And Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is only one way to heaven, and that is through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth. He lived a perfect and sinless life. He died upon a cross. He was crucified. He bore our sins on that cross. He did not deserve to die. He died in our place because we needed a perfect, sinless sacrifice. We needed the just to die for the unjust to bring us unto God. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. And Jesus rose again victoriously 3 days after to prove that He is God and to prove that He has defeated sin, death, and He longs to give you life. Cry out to Him if you do not know Him. If you have been living a lie, thinking that you are saved, but no evidences of conversion. If God has never opened your heart, let today be the day of salvation. And perhaps you are a Christian, but you have never followed God in believer's baptism. And baptism does not wash away your sin. Baptism does not make you right with God. But baptism is a sign that you have been made right with God. This wedding ring proves that I said yes to Becky. It is a symbol that I belong to her and that she belongs to me. This does not make me married. Our vows to one another before God makes us married. And so the same thing is with baptism. Baptism is showing others that you have been buried with Christ and that you have been risen again to walk with Him. Perhaps you have never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Perhaps we need to sit down and talk through that need. And know this, I will be happy to talk to you about that need. And Christian, continue to seek God through His Word. continue to obey Him, to be a light and to be a testimony. Continue to open up your mouth and to boldly proclaim the Word of God, because it is through the Word of God that God opens hearts. What is your need today? What is the need of this hour? I pray that God will deal with us, that we will not leave here the same way that we came in. Would you join me in prayer?